dindily dong, come on.
I don't believe it.
You missed that.
Miller, lovely cushion header. But Gerrard! Oh, you beauty! What a head shot! What a head!
Remember the name, Wayne Rooney.
It's Torres to get Chelsea a place in the Champions League final. The headline has been written.
Unbelievable!
Look at this, Kevin. It's a brilliant run from Messi. Can he go all the way?
They think it's all over. It is now.
All right, guys, welcome back to Talk from the Terraces with Adam and Kyle. Thank you for 40 listeners last week. It was, we really expected one. We times that by 40. How are you,
sick.
Kyle?
I'm all right. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad, mate. A lot of football over the weekend. A lot of big matches, obviously. Ibrahimovic scoring a very late equaliser against Liverpool. Guardiola getting absolutely smashed by Everton by a couple of kids as well.
Yeah, definitely. Which one do you want to start on? Because they were both, I think they were both very fascinating games, in all fairness. With the Everton City game is pretty much, I wouldn't say ended City's title race, but it's put a massive dampener on it. And, you know, Do you think they can even win it now? You know, they just got mauled on the weekend. They just got absolutely smashed by, like you said, a couple of kids who come on. Well, not come on. Tom Davis started and had a, you know, by all means, a really, really good game, and obviously was man of the match. And then I can't remember what the other guy's name was, but he literally come on. Man. That's one. Come on, and literally his first or second touch of the ball, he scores and tucks it between the keeper's legs. So, yeah.
I don't think City are out of it by any means, but I think they've got a long way to go in terms of how they play, because they seem to have a lot of possession of the ball but didn't really do much with it. And I think Guardiola's still stuck in his times with Barcelona and Bayern Munich, where they probably play teams that are significantly weaker than them and have so much time on the ball and don't really get worked for every weekend, whereas City are in for a game every weekend no matter who they're playing. I think Guardiola just isn't used to that. He isn't used to having those teams that are, they actually get worked and are tired for the next game. I think Guardiola didn't think the Premier League was going to be this hard, and I think he is struggling in some sense. But I think over time, if City do give him time, which I don't think they will because they're a happy firing club, then Guardiola can come good in the Premier League, but with how City are, I don't think he'll get the time.
Yeah, I don't know. I think with that sort of touching on, you know, his job and things like that, I think he hasn't got the safest job there, because just being a manager now is just, you're just not safe at all. You can lose four or five games and that would be it. But I do think with obviously the amount of respect he's got in the game, considering what he's done, albeit with a Barcelona side, which he basically inherited.
Same with Bayern Munich.
Yeah, flooded with stars. And of course, you know, you're going to win Champions Leagues, you're going to win league titles and, you know, domestic cups easily, really, aren't you? But yeah, I do think City will give him enough time. I think they'll give him this season as a sort of opener. And they'll probably expect to win the league next season. If they, you know, struggle next year, then obviously his job's probably under scrutiny. However, I still can't see them sacking him unless he goes on, like I mentioned before, a poor run, you know, maybe over the Christmas period next year or something like that, where, you know, something would need to be done midway for the season. But, yeah, I do think he will win the league, just not this year, and I don't think he'll win it next year either.
I think with Guardiola, he's not really a manager who stayed at a club for a terrible amount of time. Barcelona stayed there for, what, three seasons maybe? I think Bayern Munich did something similar. He seems to jump ship after a while, and I think it's because he gets bored. And I think City could be a team that he has to actually manage and coach, whereas Barcelona and Bayern Munich just needed players picking, really, in all honesty. I think I know he came up with this tick attacker, but to be fair, I think Barcelona were like that before under Rijkaard.
Very much so.
They were really good. I think maybe he's changed the style a little bit, but not too drastically from what they were. They were always the best team in Spain. Bayern Munich have been the best team in Germany for the last majority of the last few seasons. Obviously, Dortmund have won it a couple of times in between, but I think Guardiola has inherited a Man City side that are in need of an identity almost, because they've lacked it, because they've not kept managers for a very long time. They seem to get rid very, very quickly. It's a bit weird. There's too much money in football anyway. It's inevitable, really.
Yeah, like going sort of back towards the start of the season with City, where, you know, they looked as if straight away he brought, you know, the identity, as you were mentioning, straight to it, and they come out all guns blazing, really. And I remember, I can't remember who the pundit was, but talking about the back four and the way they started playing at the start of the season, where the two fullbacks would come in and almost play as like centre halves, as the centre halves would then go forward, and then we've not heard anything like that ever since. And it seems as if all of a sudden they've become this sort of, not like a mediocre team as such, however, you know, yesterday when they were playing, I was sort of saying, for the first 20 minutes I was sat, you know, watching the game and thinking, bloody hell, De Bruyne is having a really, really good game here. And he seemed as if he was untouchable. He just had a couple of really sort of amazing passes. Like, I remember the chance with David Silva. But it seems as if they've got like two or three really, really world-class players. And then the rest of the team has kind of been like has-beens, or players that just aren't good enough to win the league, or just aren't good enough to be in that kind of team. Like, especially, you know, I think Sanya is still a good player, but he's definitely not, he's not a top four or Premier League title, you know, kind of right back, left back cliche. I just don't rate him, never really have. In goal, you've also got Bravo, just, you know, I'm not sure why he's there, I'll be honest. The two centre-halves in Otamendi, don't rate Otamendi in all fairness, but who knows, he might turn out to be a really good centre-half next season. Just takes a little bit of time sometimes. And then obviously you've got John Stones at the back as well, which he's a bit of a touchy one, because obviously he's 22, and he does seem to be that kind of player that can turn out to be class and really, really good. But yesterday he had an absolute mare.
The thing with John Stones is he's, like, we touched on this last week about him being a ball playing centre half, great, but there's a time and a place for it. Paul Merson, I remember last season having a really ranty discussion on John Stones last season, when there was an incident where he kept just Cruyff turning it in his 6-yard box, and he was just like, what's he doing? And like, why is his manager not telling him something different
not
or whatever?
To do it.
But I mean, let's change the subject to City and touch on Everton, because they were magnificent, took obviously their chances really well, and a new star almost looks like he's born this. And I'd never seen him before. I was like, who's this new player Everton have signed? And I realised he'd come through the youth system, and he's got some shaggy hair, plays with his socks halfway down his legs like the old days or whatever, if you've seen clips of players in the 80s and whatnot. And he scored a really, really nice goal, in all honesty. Fair play to him, because I think he gets like completely blocked off, but just carries on with it, and City almost forget about him, and he just dinks Bravo. It's pretty nice finish, to say it was his debut.
No,
in front of the Goodison faithful.
Yeah, no, 100%. It was a class finish from him, in all fairness, and he had a really good game throughout as well. He broke up the play really well, and obviously put in a quality shift. Like you said, like, I've never heard of him before yesterday, and you know, I think it was his fifth Premier League start or something like that, and he looked as if he just fit in straight away. And yeah, like I said, he was man of the match, and the goal was just out of this world. You just think, for someone who's, what is he, probably 19, maybe even younger than that, Yeah. And he's just come in and he's just gone and dinked a, you know, what they used to call a top quality goalkeeper and played for Barcelona and won a Champions League. And he's just there, just dinking over him. It's crazy.
Yeah, as well, quite a good victory for Everton because they've been a bit they've hit a wall in recent weeks, I think. And Koeman wasn't sure, like Lukaku wasn't scoring and people weren't really on their game. Barkley as well, but. Played really, really well yesterday and deserved it. Their finishing was immaculate. And I like Koeman because he's got a really good philosophy about him. Obviously played for a really good team. Again, Barcelona, we're mentioning. And he did really well at Southampton, I thought. And he'll push the kids through, like Davis, like Holgate, like Galloway at Everton. And obviously they've just signed Ademola Lookman from Charlton, who scored as well in that game. Another good goal as well for his first game for Everton. And I think Everton have got a nice mix of old experience and younger players, and then players that are like in that mid-20s region who are established pros but aren't quite in their peak and they're out of their youth of making mistakes and whatnot. And I think bringing in Morgan Schneiderlin is only going to strengthen Everton, and I think for the rest of the season you'll see them push on a little bit more now.
Yeah, definitely. Another player to sort of mention there was Lukaku. Obviously, he got his goal yesterday. He really held the line well. He won the ball high up the pitch and obviously dragged Everton out, especially when City are all over him. I think it was when Everton went 2-0 up. City had a really, really long sort of stretch of possession where it almost looked inevitable that City were going to come back into the game, and he, like I said, really brought the team out and just held onto the ball, won flick-ons and, dragged them up. Another player, Ross Barkley, like you said, they've got some players that are like mid-20s but not quite at their peak. He's probably that kind of player. He is starting to sort of show that he is a good player. I'm one of his biggest critics, and obviously, he's got this limelight of him being the next Rooney and things like that based on his background and stuff. But, this season especially, he is starting to become a quality player in terms of, his ball retention is a lot better. He's not making as many mistakes, although he's not really getting on the score sheet all the time, which you'd like to see him do a bit more. I do think he's, he's pushed on a lot, especially in the last 12 months. But obviously, moving on, we've been talking about Everton and City for 10 minutes. We've got the other part two of Super Sunday. Liverpool and United yesterday, or should I say United-Liverpool, basically, United at home. An interesting game. Wasn't obviously the most amazing game to watch in terms of, goals, having like a 4-3 thriller or anything like that. But, I think Liverpool really came there to sort of stifle the way United were playing, and not to sort of, they weren't like too defensive or anything, but they weren't the type of Liverpool that you've seen all season, and they really did hold off United, I think, and to be honest, they were lucky they're unlucky not to win that game.
Yeah, I was watching Sky Sports News this morning, and Klopp said Liverpool were better. They dominated the game for 75 minutes, and then Man United started hoofing the ball into the box. and Danny Mills was on Sky Sports News talking with, I can't remember who it was, but basically he was saying that Mourinho will change his style and will do anything to win games or draw games or whatever and avoid losing at all costs. And that's a sign of a good manager who's willing to change, because the first time he was at Chelsea, they were really boring to watch. I knew they would thump teams sometimes 7 or 8-0 at an occasion, but the amount of 1-0s they got or 2-0s and it was just boring was endless. But to say that they hoofed the ball up to Fellaini, it's just obviously you got to change if it's not working for you, and it obviously worked because they got the goal in the end. And Ibrahimovic is again still proving me wrong that his goal was really well taken. It was a difficult one for him, and he like scooped it with his head almost over Mignolet, and it obviously went in the back of the net. And it was incredible to see. But the biggest shock was Pogba's handball, because I don't know why he just doesn't head the ball away.
No,
like, why did he handball it? I don't get it.
Yeah, I saw a couple of memes that he dabbed in midair, and people are sort of taking the mic, sort of saying, you know, the wrong time to dab and things. But
I think his hair blinded him more. So
yeah, he had an absolute shocker yesterday, Pogba. And, you know, I don't think the TV or, you know, or critics really helped that performance in any way, shape or form. And I kind of hope that he bounces back next week, because if he has another poor game next week, then they're going to be really on him, because they were really bad yesterday in terms of saying, oh, he had a really poor first half, and you know he's obviously got a massive price tag and all this. But going back to the goal, Zlatan's goal, I think, was brilliant. I think people will sort of see that, oh, this was a really scrappy goal, and yes, it was in terms of the build up and things, but that finish is just outrageous, really, to, like you said, to literally scoop the ball pretty much with his head to lob the keeper from 6 or 7 yards is just incredible. I don't know how he does it, and like you say, he's proving everyone wrong every week. You know, he's well into his twilight years. He's what, 35, and he's still banging in goals week in, week out. I kind of want to see him just top the goal scoring charts just for his personal record, because I've grown to like the guy. I never did, because obviously his ego is massive and things like that. But he is a you know, a really good pro.
Yeah, talking about goals though, it seems like goal of the season seems to get broken up every week, because I don't know if you saw Andy Carroll's outrageous bicycle
at
the weekend.
What a
goal. It was ridiculous. Fair play to Andy Carroll. I mean, he's had a lot of injuries, and I know he's not everyone's favourite player, but I actually think he is really good if you've got him in the right system, because he's a terror like to play against. I imagine he's just such a like unit of a bloke, but he's actually got quite a good left foot on him. I don't know what you think about Carroll. I'd honestly take, like, if I was England manager, I'd take him to every tournament.
He's there as an option, isn't he? Definitely. For me, no, I don't rate him as a footballer, because with his feet, he's a bit of a lummox. He's just not a typical player that you'd think, yeah, he's definitely an international kind player. However, yeah, I would probably take him to each tournament, because if you know you need a goal, or you're lumping the ball for 20 minutes at the end of the game because you're 1-0 down and you need a point to get through the group stage, then he's probably a guy to bring on. Like Fellaini was for United yesterday. When he come on, everyone's thinking, oh, Fellaini's rubbish, he's awful. But he was only brought on yesterday to literally win the ball in the air so they could get up the pitch a lot quicker, and that's what worked for United.
You've got to remember as well, the big man creates space, because people think, oh, it's just going to go to him every time, and then suddenly gets crossed to the other person because you've doubled up on him to try and win the ball. It's not just so he wins the ball, but they also draw people out of place. I think I hate that type of football. I hate football at all costs, but it's always a plan B, isn't it? And it always seems to work. But just talking about West Ham and Dimitri Payet, what do you make of the situation?
For me, I'd just sell him whilst I can. He's nearly 30 years of age. He's going to be going past his best sort of very soon, in all fairness. And he's not really had a really good opening to the season. He's not been fantastic, like we said last week. He's not really sort of hit the ground running this year, and whether that's down to the stadium, like we said, or we don't know. But he is definitely not the same player as he was last year. Maybe he was just a one-season wonder. But yeah, I'd probably cash in on him. You'll probably get a little bit more because it's January. And also, just get him off the books, because he's probably on 150 grand a week or something like that. And he's just literally just a waste of money at the minute, because he's just there. And he's saying, oh, you know, I'm not going to play, I'm going to feign injury and all this. And it just seems a massive, I don't know how to explain it, but I just wouldn't keep him in the club. It's not healthy for the team morale. It's not healthy, you know, for him to be around the club, you know, from playing even at sort of semi-professional level. if you have someone that doesn't want to be there around, it's just not healthy. You know, the players become down, and like I said, morale drops and results therefore drop as well. And they're not exactly having a great season as it is. So maybe he's been like this for a couple of months. Although they did win on the weekend, yeah.
I hate it because he's getting paid a lot of money. Fair enough if you're unhappy at work, but if either of us are unhappy at work, we still have to go unless you quit. So if we decided to go on strike, we'd get the sack or we'd not get paid. So why is Dimitri Payet is therefore taking football for a massive spin almost. He's taking it for granted. If I was David Sullivan or whatever his name is, or David Gold, I can never remember what their names are, West Ham, but
both
I'd
David,
be refusing to play him because he's not doing his job. He should be playing football for West Ham until they sell him. Or release him, because it's silly. I don't understand it, and I hate it because obviously I'm not in that situation. I'm not a footballer. But if I was playing and I was unhappy, I'd still be at least have the decency to be professional about it and get on with my job, give 110%, no matter what. Because they're living a dream that not a lot of people get to live out, and he's taking it for granted. In my opinion,
yeah. I can't explain it. It's a very touchy subject, football, and obviously players' wages and things, because these players earn stupid amounts of money every week to literally kick a ball around for 90 minutes and turn up for training a couple of hours a week. And I think Robbie Savage was a sort of great example of that, was when he was at Birmingham, and like he explained on the weekend on TV that, you know, He didn't want to play for Birmingham, and he did everything he could to get out of the club, and eventually they did, but he had to do a lot to do that. But at the end of the day, if someone is not prepared to play for the club, they shouldn't be paid, or they should be fined every single week until they do play or they do leave. Because like you said, if you're gonna, you know, if we don't turn up for work or whatever, or we decide to go on strike, then we don't get paid or we get the sack. So why should a player or in that profession be any different to what, you know, to what we are? Because at the end of the day, it's just a job, you know, with what, and their job tends to be what the biggest sport is here. And it is very interesting to sort of say that, like, how come a player doesn't get sacked, but obviously at the same time, when you're in work, another company doesn't come in and spend 50 million on you to sign you up, do they? So
if only.
Yeah, I mean, I've not looked into any of the rules and things like that, but there's surely got to be something done, you know, especially by the FA or by any, you know, governing body like FIFA or UEFA in terms of transfers and in terms of players' contracts, because it's not the first time it's happened.
No. Well, it's happening at our club, isn't it?
So exactly. You know, we don't know all the details and things like that, which sometimes I wish we would, because then we'd have a better understanding of what's actually going on at our club. Because, like with Payet, you've got people sort of saying, you know, he's doing this or he's doing that, and then you hear other things. So it kind of puts a smokescreen on what the actual situation may be. You know, for all we know, the manager and the player have fallen out, maybe like what Costa and Conte have done.
Yeah.
If the player and the manager falls out, then I could sort of understand it. However, if it's just based on him wanting more money, then I can't understand that, and I just think that's just unacceptable.
Yeah, talking about Diego Costa and obviously him not playing at the weekend, and Conte came out and said, "Oh, he's had a back injury, and there's nothing wrong between us." But
rubbish.
The supposed bid from China for £80 million, and to give him what, like £300,000 a week? That's like ludicrous. And it almost makes me think, like, fair enough, like, if people want more money for work, that's fine. I don't have a disgruntlement with that. But like again, like I say, play for your club at least. Give 110%. If you want more money, fine. But like, really, would you, like, as a footballer, I wouldn't want to go to China, because no one's going to watch it.
No.
Are you going to get picked for your country because you're playing in China? You're going to probably, I know Diego Costa could probably go to China and score like 60 goals a season or whatever, but then he's playing weaker opposition. So then he, when he comes to play for Spain, they'll just, I know they won't bully him or anything, but he will just not be as good.
No, I think to sort of counteract that, it is maybe like Drogba. When he left English football for a couple of seasons and then come back, and no, he wasn't the same player, but he was still pretty good. However, at the same time, no, I don't think you should be picked for your country if you go and play in a. Let's face it, it's not a major league. It's a minor league at max. You know, technically, it's Sunday league, isn't it? Really, but you know, if he wants to go out and do that and you know be bored for 8 hours a day, then. By all means, fine. You know, if he wants to do that, then that's his choice, isn't it? It's just unfortunate because he is a talent. He is a you know really good player. Although sometimes I don't really like to see him, but he is a pretty good player. Obviously, we've only touched on a couple of results from the weekend. There was 8 other games, I think. Well, was there? Who knows? But there were other games on the weekend. I said that West Brom would get something at Tottenham.
how wrong you was.
How I wrong took, I was.
Just touching on Harry Kane, it took him ages to get going, but it seems like Christmas dinner has done him some good or something. I don't know, because he's found his scoring boots. And I saw a stat the other day. Well, I mean, I think it might have been today or yesterday, saying, Is Harry Kane a one season wonder? He scored 31 goals in his first season, his first proper season, 28 last season. He's on 13 this season. So the question is, no, he's not a one season wonder. He seems to be the real deal, and he could be. Harry Kane has the potential to be like an Alan Shearer in terms of goal scoring records.
Definitely. If he stays at Spurs or stays at a big club all his career, he'll definitely break that record of 260. I mean, I'm not sure what he's on now. He's probably on about roughly
about 80-ish. He's the fastest player to get to 60 goals, so he must be on 60-ish.
Yeah, he must be, 60, maybe he may be pushing towards 70. So how old is he? He's 23, 24. He's probably got another 10 years.
Maybe, yeah.
So if he averages 20 goals a season, he's going to do it.
Easily as well.
Yeah, he might even get towards the 300. Obviously, you know, we're kind of just bigging this guy up because why not? But yeah, if he does stay in the Premier League for majority of his career at least, or whilst he's in his peak, then he'll definitely get towards that record. Another player would be maybe Sergio Aguero if he stays at City. He's on, 120, something like that?
Yeah, I don't know. If Aguero doesn't seem to keep fit long enough for City to consistently score a huge amount of goals. Also, I think he's not old or anything, but I think City tend to spread their goals out a little bit more than what Tottenham do.
Yeah, I suppose time is a little bit against him, isn't it? I think he's 26, something like that. So he's got another 4 or 5 years at the top of his game, probably. But he always does seem to get the 20 goals a season. Since he's been at City, he's been at 30 once, and I think he's been at 25 once as well. So, you know, even though he's not been fit, he's still getting the goals. Going back to the results, though, obviously, Chelsea smashed the champions away from home on the weekend. Again,
Leicester are where they should have been last season. I keep saying this. They're in a dogfight this season, which they should have been in last year, completely overachieved. But Chelsea, fair play to them, recovered from losing last week against Spurs, I think it was, and then this week without Diego Costa, were comfortable, really. And I really like Conte. I think he's just so emotional with it all, and I think that's great to have in the Premier League. Him and Klopp are brilliant for it, and I think Chelsea, they can be caught, but it's difficult to see, especially with an Italian at the helm, because even if Chelsea aren't having the best game, you know that it's going to be difficult to score against them. And I know Spurs really undone them at White Hart Lane, but it's one in every 10 games maybe or whatever for Chelsea. It's hard to stop them.
No, definitely. Champions elect?
Possibly, yeah.
Yeah, I do think the weekend's results massively helped them, in all fairness. You mean the only other team winning in the top four was Arsenal, I believe.
They smashed Spurs Swansea, as well, didn't they?
Yeah, they smashed Swansea 4-0, and I do think Swansea are going to go down, as I hate to say it, because obviously it's the Welsh team in the league, but this season they've just been awful to watch.
What do you make of Mesut Ozil and Alexis Sanchez's contracts? Because word is that Mesut Ozil is basically waiting to see what Arsene Wenger's doing. And Arsene Wenger's obviously at that time where he's probably considering retiring or maybe carried on for one more season, I don't know.
They're going to finish fourth, definitely. So you've got to think what Arsene Wenger might do this year. He'll probably sign another two-year deal, in all fairness, because he seems to do it every time, doesn't he? Gets towards the end of his contract and he's like, yeah, come on, I'll give it another 2 years. Why not? With Ozil, I would probably be in the same situation. If I like the manager that much, I'd probably consider, you know, waiting until the manager's made the final decision on what his career is going to be. And obviously, he plays well under Wenger, or has played well under Wenger. So, if Wenger does retire, then I think he might leave. In all fairness, he might probably go back to Spain or maybe not go to another Premier League team. I'm not sure he would take him. In all fairness,
I think he'd go to Germany or Spain again. Yeah.
Maybe go to Germany, probably play at Bayern, win another four or five Bundesligas and then retire. it just wouldn't surprise me. With Sanchez, is he the same situation?
I think, I'm not sure about his situation with Wenger. I think he's just wanting more money.
Okay, well, with that one, why not? Because he's probably the best player in the club, isn't he? So, you know, if I was the owner or anything like that and he wanted an extra 50 grand a week, then by all means do it, because you'll probably get that extra 50 grand a week in shirt sales. And obviously fire him at the league as well and get him into the top four again. So, yeah, I'd probably just give him the extra money if that's what he's after, then yeah, definitely. Moving on, West Ham won 3-0. We did touch on it. Worldie by Andy Carroll, and Lanzini got a really good goal as well. They might not be on the up, who knows, but we'll talk about the team at last. Crystal Palace, obviously Sam Allardyce, you know, he's new manager in charge. He's mentioned today that he's going to be looking abroad to get some new talent in. Are they guaranteed safety because of Sam Allardyce? Or?
I don't know. I think it's a different proposition for him, because I think Crystal Palace have got nicer players than what Allardyce has probably been used to at other clubs, especially like when he was at Sunderland and teams like that. I think Crystal Palace have got a bit of more flair about them with like the likes of Townsend and Zaha and Jason Puncheon. And I don't think it's as straightforward for Sam Allardyce as maybe Crystal Palace fans would have liked. So I think he's got a job on his hands, really,
in my
opinion.
Agreed. He always seems to pull it out of the bag at some point. But he's been known to always have a goal scorer. And Benteke this season, he's been a bit of a disappointment for me. Whether that be because of Pardew sort of not maybe playing to the way he can play. But he's just been a massive disappointment. I'm not sure how many goals he's on this season, but I've hardly heard of him this year. And considering he's supposedly a £30 million talent, I just don't see that at all at the minute. Moving on, obviously £30 million in Stoke City with Peter Crouch, because obviously he's the best player in the world. he's on 99 Premier League goals. Obviously, he might well do it. We signed another year deal, so chances are he's going to surpass 100 goals.
I'm surprised he's been back in the fold, because for a very long time, Stoke seemed reluctant to play him, and I thought Peter Crouch was probably going to leave very soon and his time was up at Stoke. But fair play to the bloke for being professional, being patient, and obviously he's got his chance and he scored in the last couple of weeks, I believe.
Yeah.
He scored obviously at the weekend, and Stoke played pretty well, obviously got the victory. Who did they play again?
They beat Sunderland 3-1.
Yeah, so pretty convincing win for Stoke. And I Stoke seem to go about their business pretty quietly. I mean, I think Mark Hughes is a pretty good manager, and I think Stoke is one of those clubs that's his type of team to go quietly about the, about his business, because every time he's been at those sort of teams, they've done pretty well. And then when he's gone to a bigger club, he's just done rubbish. And like it's like too much pressure almost. Whereas I think Stoke, he's quietly built, but Bojan apparently wants to leave there, which is a probably a big disappointment for Stoke. But in all honesty, has he really lit up the Premier League as some people would have hoped? Because he was a massive talent, obviously, a couple of seasons ago.
Yeah, his career's just been a massive disappointment, in all fairness.
Too many injuries, I think.
Yeah, that, and also probably his attitude, probably when he was a little bit younger, being this massive prospect, especially starting off at, well, I think he started off at Barcelona, did he start off at Ajax first? Being at that sort of club, obviously your career is automatically going to be, you know, legend or anything like that, and he just really hasn't lived up to any of that status at all. But, you know, he's been a solid player for Stoke. I wouldn't say he's been awful. He's had some good moments and things, and if he does move on, then I don't think it's a bad move for either Stoke or the player, in all fairness, because Stoke can probably, now they're in that sort of region of, you know, around mid-table, pushing towards the top sort of seven or eight, depending on who wins the FA Cup. And, you know, this season they're not going to do anything. They're probably going to be where they're about now, in ninth or maybe eighth. But pushing on, they're a perfect team to go to if you want something, you know, if you're that player that's after a challenge. And they've got some good talent there. Like Arnautovic is, you know, for me, he's brilliant. I've seen him play for Austria, and obviously seen him play in the Premier League, and he's been fantastic, especially in the last 6 to 8 months as well. Also, you know, Wilfried Bony, he's sort of not back or anything yet, but, you know, when he was at Swansea, everyone was thinking, wow, this guy is amazing. Like, I remember watching him week in, week out, like banging in just all sorts of types of goals, just headers, volleys, and he doesn't look like a footballer. He looks like a bodybuilder. He's massive. He is huge, isn't he? He's not quite Akin Fenwa type, but he is pretty big, and you just think, bloody hell.
Yeah, I mean, another thing with Stoke as well, you've got to remember they've got a top England goalkeeper in Jack Butland, but he's just been hampered since that injury against Germany for playing for England. And I feel sorry for Butland, because going into the last Euros, he would have been the number one choice for me over Joe Hart, because I thought he had a better season. And I think Stoke have probably missed him in goal. And obviously, I think Lee Grant's been playing in goal for Stoke and hasn't done a bad job for him, but I think you do miss it for a top goalkeeper in between the sticks. But I think Stoke, again, I think next season they'll still bring in a few good players. They seem to do it every year, and it's under the radar. Again, like I always say, I think Mark Hughes gets backed by the chairman there pretty handsomely. And I think if he carries on, I think Stoke will be that next team to push the Europa League sort of teams.
Definitely. You know, like you say, you know, Sparky, I think he's been really underrated throughout his managerial career. He was very unfortunate at City. You know, they were sort of that upcoming team at the time. You know, obviously, they were not one of the most hated, but not many teams like them. He had, Craig Bellamy there at the time. He had, I think it was Adebayor there, Kolo Touré, all these players are sort of like past their prime, and unfortunately got sacked, you know, from not even doing a bad job. And since then, it's kind of not like ended his career any way, shape or form, but the type of jobs he could go for based on his, you know, based on his CV, in a way, he could manage a top four side again. I mean, obviously, there's none of the top four are going to take him on yet, because they've got their own managers. However, if, for example, Arsenal were, you know, we just said before, if Wenger was to go, do you think Mark Hughes could be a kind of manager that could go there? I mean, in my opinion, definitely. Maybe not Arsenal, but he could go to one of those sort of teams. I mean, what do you think?
It'd be tough to call, wouldn't it? Because managers are like managers and players are a very similar kind of ilk, aren't they? Like, very hard to find the top ones because majority of them are in the top jobs. I think with one of the top four, I think Mark Hughes is maybe just that little bit short of the top managers that would probably get, that would be interested in an Arsenal, Man United, Liverpool, Chelsea, City, because you've got the likes of Ancelotti still in the world, and Koeman, who's obviously, I think Koeman's probably a better manager than Mark Hughes just because of his footballing knowledge, but then obviously yeah. You've got Laudrup, who I still don't know how Laudrup's not in the Premier League as a manager still. It still puzzles me because I thought he did great at Swansea, but like, you've still got like Diego Simeone and people like that, and I just think it's very tough for Mark Hughes to maybe push that little bit more in terms of managing a better team than Stoke. But again, I still think he's building something at Stoke. It's just very hard in the Premier League because everyone else is getting the same sort of money and have got higher revenue, so can attract better players, unfortunately. But Stoke aren't attracting bad players as such. But
no, not at all. Yeah. We'll try and finish the Premier League as soon as we can. Obviously, Burnley won on the weekend as well against Southampton.
Doing 1-0 really well, Burnley.
Only.
Joey Barton,
yeah, returning, coming on, scoring a goal. Like, wow.
Could have written it any better.
Yeah, written really. In the stars, eh? Just touching on Joey Barton, so like for a quick second. I think he is one of the, probably not one of the greatest players ever, but one of the best players England has seen that has not played for England. And the only reason, in my opinion, he's not playing for England is because of his reputation outside of football.
I think like for a long time though, Joey Barton's been quite well behaved. I know at Rangers he had this big spat or whatever, but that you get that at every club, and he obviously seemed to be in the wrong place at the wrong time or whatever. I don't know or whatever, but and he's very opinionated. But I like that in some respects because it shows he sort of cares or whatever, but he's also very confident. And I think some teams need a really horrible player, but he can also play, can't he? He is a really good player.
Yeah, he is quality. I've been to Turfborough a couple of times watching our team, and he has just dominated the game. I know, obviously, we haven't got the best team in the world, but you can just tell he's played at a high level, and you can just tell he's played, you know, like obviously he was a prospect at City and turned into a quality player in Newcastle. And now, obviously, he's showing it at Burnley as well. And I just think he's a proper pro in terms of on the field. Obviously, off the field, he's a bit of a nightmare. And again, on the field, he has had his moments. However, a driver of a player like that, who's you know, he's feisty and, you know, likes to get his teeth into the game rather than someone who doesn't care. And obviously, we've got that problem at Forest as well, in, you know, with a couple of players. But yeah, anyway, moving on. Like, we've spent nearly a year talking about the Premier League and not even talking about any of the other topics we're going to get onto. I don't think there's anything else not to talk about in the Premier League. No,
well, Watford, City won. Watford won it because Watford and Middlesbrough had poor draw. But got to talk about Graham Taylor, I suppose. I know you're probably a bit too young. I was definitely too young as well. But what he did at Watford was ridiculous.
Yeah,
took him
definitely.
From like the bottom division all the way up to the Premier League or the old first division runners up in 5 years. That is like
That's
football
awesome.
Manager FIFA-esque, like literally stuff that you can only do on a computer game almost. Really great record. Unfortunately, it didn't work out for him at England. But seemed like a really nice person from what people have said. Pundits and people who played underneath him and whatnot. He did some incredible things. I think he was best man at someone's wedding. Sent letters to fans if they wrote him. Seemed like a really nice person. But obviously, I didn't really know that much because I didn't really follow football too much throughout the 90s because I was too young and I was too busy playing.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, I didn't really know who the guy was. Obviously, I've heard of the name because you do hear of, you know, the better managers and the better players from the 90s, the 80s, the 70s, etc. And I did do a little bit of research and a couple of facts here. Obviously, he took Villa to second in the league. I think it was the second season after they got promoted back to the Premier League. He did that in the first attempt as well. When he took over Villa, you mentioned, you know, with Watford taking them to the first division in five seasons and getting them again to second place, and I think that's great. And he got I think Watford to an FA Cup final, a couple of League Cup semi-finals, and things like that. So although he didn't really win a major trophy, he still had a pretty good career. A couple of notable things that I saw and I was like, wow, that's an awesome achievement, is he was the only player or slash manager, because he did one as a player, one as a manager, to achieve the old under the old points thing, where it was 2 points for a win and one for a draw. He was one of I think it was three people to do it, to achieve 70 points in a season. I think he was one player, and then I think a team, not sure who it was, not even gonna try and think who it was, but there was another team who'd done it, but he was one of the only players to do it that. And he was also one of only a few managers ever to achieve 1,000 games managed in England. And yeah. I'm not sure if you know who the other guys are, but
Ferguson would definitely be one, wouldn't they?
Ferguson's definitely one. Wenger's one. I'm not sure the other guys are. I think Brian Clough would have done it. Because he was in football management forever. But yeah, it's just me having that jotted down is like, wow, what a career he had, because I would have that. I'd swap with him right now. Why not? moving on. Moving up to Scotland, going above the border. Not sure if you heard about this, but Brendan Rodgers claimed that Celtic would be a top six side if they were in the Premier League. Thoughts?
It's like... Celtic are obviously a massive club. Absolutely huge to say they're in the Scottish League. They've got an amazing fan base. It's hard to tell because obviously the Scottish Premier League is two teams, and I wouldn't even say it's two teams at the moment because Rangers have only just got back into the Scottish Premier League, so aren't really on a competing level yet with Celtic. But if Celtic came to the Premier League, I think they'd find it hard at the very start, but because they've got such a big fan base and then they get the TV money and they're a big club, they're a big historic club, then what's not to say they would attract better players, therefore to compete with the Premier League teams. But for now, no, they wouldn't get in the top six. I think they've got really good players. They've got some really outstanding talent, like Moussa Dembele is really good. Lee Griffiths is quite good. And they've got a few younger players. I don't really watch Celtic, so I can't really comment on who for definite. But like I said, I think they'd find it hard until they got the money through to attract better players, because their fan base is tremendous. Like when I've watched games on like Champions League or whatever, and Celtic Park is bouncing, that it seems like a really intimidating place to go, but an awesome place to be a part of if you're a supporter.
No, definitely. I mean, like, saying if they were to come to the Premier League, say for example they started from next season and they had the team that they had now, I seriously have them down as relegation favourites, in all fairness, because the squad that they've got, like you said, they've got like talent like Moussa Dembele and Lee Griffiths, for example. However, if you look through the squad, you've got Scott Brown, who's like, he's been around for about 67 years or something like that. He just always seems to be that player. He's like, oh, Scott Brown, but he wouldn't be any good in the Premier League. He's like Lee Catamull. Scott Sinclair, he never made it in the Premier League. He was average at Villa at best. He had a couple of good seasons at Swansea, I believe, but
he ruined really it by going it. To Man City, didn't he?
Yeah, he ruined his own career, but obviously you'd make that move if you had the opportunity. Colo Touré, who's finished, who's gone up there. Patrick Roberts is probably another player that, yes, he's got a future. However, right now he's not a top Premier League player as such. Then you've got Izaguirre, I think that's how you say it, the left back.
Yeah.
He was linked with the Premier League a few seasons back, if I remember rightly. But you know, just based on those players alone, I would say no, they're definitely not candidates to be you know, a top Premier League side. But like you said, if they were to go down to the Championship, they'd probably come straight back up based on their support. And obviously the attraction of, you know, playing at Celtic Park would probably be a big thing for players. Moving on, obviously we're in the middle of January and it doesn't even feel like it this time of year, because there's not even, hardly anything's happened in the transfer window, in all fairness. We've only had one or two sort of big moves, and we've had quite, you know, a couple of rumours, but it seemed very quiet this year. I don't know what you think, but
I think it's down to, especially like in the Championship, there's usually quite a lot of movement because of teams are needing to improve, whether they're making that promotion push or they're down in the relegation sort of fight. But I think because it's so restricted to go out and buy players, and now because of all the money involved, players' value goes up suddenly, especially because it's January. I think it's just harder and harder to buy players in the middle of the season because people want to keep hold of the better players, and then you say, oh, we'll just go after you in the summer. But a team who has probably made a little bit of progress, I'd say, in the Championship would be Villa, signing Hourihane, really good player. And obviously Winnall going from Barnsley as well to Sheffield Wednesday. And I think Barnsley have almost turned into the Southampton of the Championship by the looks of it, because they've got some really, really good players, and obviously found it very difficult to keep hold of two of their best ones.
Yeah, another team, like you said, Villa have probably made a good move there. I think we touched on it last week, at David Nugent going to Derby. I think that's just a quality signing, and that's the type of signing you expect to see a team either in the top six or just outside the top six expect to make. I mean, but that's the only, like I mentioned before, that's the only sort of business that, like, I've really sort of looked at and think, you know what, that's a good signing, especially for January. But I mean, like we mentioned last week, is there any teams based on obviously over the weekend, or any players that you think that you've heard maybe moving about? Is there any players that you think that maybe want to go to, like in the Championship at the minute, go to a top six side, or do you think that any of the teams around the top six should consider going out to get? I mean, obviously, you know, we've got a couple of players at Forest that are being linked with moves away and things like that. Do you mean any of those types of players?
Well, it depends on our owner, doesn't it, with Forest, because the takeover collapsed, and I've already touched on it on the YouTube channel, so it's a difficult one. But I think Brentford are looking to keep hold of Scott Hogan, who could be going to West Ham. I think we said this last week.
Yeah.
I don't know, really. I think Newcastle are looking to strengthen, but I don't really know where they can strengthen, because they've got such a good team for the Championship. It's like they've already probably got all the best players that's available to them, unless they're paying stupid money out. I don't know if Newcastle can do that. They did that at the start, obviously, but I'm not sure, really. It's a difficult one to say, because January, I think, is such a hard month to purchase players unless they're not playing, and so you're not going to get as good a quality. Or you're loaning players because they've come back from injury.
Yeah, touch on Newcastle. I think if they're to strengthen, they're probably strengthening for the Premier League team rather than strengthening for the rest of the season. Because in all fairness, they're probably guaranteed a top two finish. Even if they end the season with the talent they've got now, they've got a 30 goal a season man in Dwight Gayle, or, you know, whilst he's in the Championship, a 30 goal a season man. They've got quality throughout the team. Matt Ritchie. I was going to say Paul Dummett then, and I was like, I'm not sure why. But they've got, you know, some really good players. Lascelles, as we know, Carl Darlow, pretty good player.
John Joe Shelvey,
who seems to keep them ticking over. They've got so much quality in their team, then they don't need to go out and buy any players in this window, especially. But, I mean, if they did, then it's probably, like I said before, it'll be to go out and buy for next season, and get them either on the cheap whilst their sort of contracts are running low, or to just, you know, get them to get a bit of a feel for what the club's about, maybe. Team, obviously, who are giving them a right go this season is Brighton. But they're not even known for buying or spending a lot of money, because they've got a bit of a history and things like that, in terms of, you know, they used to play at Blue Sports Field in the middle of literally nowhere. So they're still probably paying off their new ground, which they've had for about 10 years now. But yeah, transfers this month is just boring me, in all fairness. I want January to be over. I really do, because it's just it's rubbish.
Not as a Forest fan, I don't want it to be over because we need to recruit, but with our situation, I don't know if that will even be possible.
Yeah.
But anyway, Kyle, after last week's quiz, I've decided to do my own quiz this week.
Okay.
And it's a manager-related quiz. I've tried to keep it as Premier League as possible to help you out. So I've got 5 questions.
Right, okay, go on.
If all 40 viewers would like to play along at home, that would be great.
yeah. Please comment.
So the first question is, after Arsene Wenger, who is the longest serving manager in the Premier League?
Okay.
Currently, that is.
Yeah, it the Mark Hughes, will it?
No.
Okay. Because it was Pardew, if I'm not being mistaken there. So how long has this manager been in charge?
He's been in charge for 4 years at his club.
4 years. Okay, process elimination here. Pochettino?
No.
Wow.
They got promoted within the last couple of seasons.
Okay, so there's not been a Premier League manager all the time then?
No, they've just been at their club for a little while.
Sean Dyche?
No, he was the next one. But
oh, what? I was like, I thought I nailed that one. Okay, now I'm in trouble.
I just said it. It was Eddie Howe. By like 40 days, Dyche is behind.
40 days, wow.
Yeah, something like that.
They did kind of overlap, didn't they, jobs? Yeah, that would make sense.
Second question. Name a manager to win the Champions League as a player and a manager. There's a few, but I'll give you just name one manager.
Name one manager to win Premier League as a player and a manager. Guardiola's won.
Yeah, he won it with Barcelona.
Twice. Well, yeah. There's other ones, is there, or?
There's a couple more, but you've already got it really with naming Guardiola. Oh, okay. But Zidane was one of them, obviously did it last year.
That's it.
And Ancelotti.
Wow, Ancelotti played football.
Yeah,
I didn't know that. I'll be honest.
I think he'd do it with AC Milan, most likely.
Wow.
Anyway, third question. What manager has been sacked most in the Premier League?
Sacked most? How many times?
6.
6 times? Wow, you just want to pack it in if you got sacked 6 times. That's just stupid. you'd find another job, wouldn't you? You'd just go into like ambassadorial role. 6 times. Wow. Are they a manager currently?
They're a manager currently, yes.
Wow. 6 times. I'm stuck here. Give us a clue.
He's been England manager.
Allardyce?
Yeah.
Allardyce has been sacked 6 times, wow.
He has.
Who's he been sacked by? West Ham. Sunderland didn't sack him because he left.
Well, it counts apparently.
Oh, right, okay. Fair
enough. But Newcastle, Blackburn, Bolton. Can't remember who else now, but yeah, 6 times. That's what I said on the old internet.
The internet.
Anyway. Who is the least successful manager when they were a player, like winning things, basically? Who's the least successful current manager as well?
Mourinho?
No.
Wow, okay. Because he didn't really have a career. Current manager, maybe Wenger?
Yeah, Wenger.
Yeah, he didn't really do much, did
he? Basically played Sunday League football.
Wow, that's
which is brilliant.
Crazy.
Brilliant like achievement to say where he is now, anyway.
Yeah.
And the last question, which manager has been promoted most times to the Premier League?
What is it, 3 times, is it?
4.
4, wow. Current Premier League again?
No, he's not currently in the Premier League.
My God. He's on the tip of my tongue. Can't say it. Don't know. Can't remember his name. Is it the bald-headed fellow who used to be pundit?
No.
It's not.
He manages in the Championship now.
Damn it. He manages in the Championship. Is it? It's not Neil Warnock, is it?
No.
No.
I thought that before I asked the question. Before I looked at the question.
That the guy I was thinking was Ian Holloway.
Oh, right, no.
No, it's not him. Right, that's fine. Wow. Go on, give us another clue. You've lost me on these.
The four times he's been promoted, he's done it twice with one club and twice with another club.
Name one of the clubs.
Birmingham City.
Steve Bruce.
Yes.
Wow.
Twice with Hull.
Oh yeah,
obviously left Hull.
And then did it once with Birmingham.
Did it twice with Birmingham.
Twice. Oh shit. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Oh. But yeah, that was the end of the difficult quiz that I gave you.
That was, you know what? That was hard. I think I'm pretty good in terms of questions and things like that. But you know, I got lost there. In all fairness,
I might have to get one of my quiz boxes out next time to get questions. It's bloody hard coming up with them.
Yeah, but that's pretty much everything we're going to talk on today. We won't talk any Forest because we probably bored all 40 of you listened last week. But if all 40 of you did listen this week, then please give us a like and also a comment as well. If you can give us any feedback, obviously we didn't get any last week, that's fine. But if you can, then that'd be brilliant because any feedback we get is constructive in our minds. But yeah, please obviously like, share it with your dog and your cat and your pet reptile and things like that. And yeah, we'll see you next week.
Cheers. See you later.